Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 20th of April, recording at 7:49 p.m. British Summer Time, and I'm very relieved to be back in the driving seat, although grateful to my esteemed colleague Owen Tracy for the excellent job he did in conveying the Fuller Money view for all of you during my absence. Now, because I've been away for 3 weeks, this is going to be really a sort of a mini catch-up review, a mini of the audio that I'd normally do on Fridays, so that big picture long-term outlook. And I'm doing that partly just to bring everybody up to date with my latest thinking. And I, despite the illness, I was able to keep in reasonably good touch with the markets and have a lot of thinking time. But also, I particularly want to address with this audio the many new subscribers who came in during March and April. And I'll say right at the outset that regarding stock markets, that the view that I will articulate shortly will come as no surprise, or I suspect really disappointment, to the subscribers who've been with me since at least March 2003, when it was not all that difficult to identify the rally potential that was so clearly indicated by the price charts and that also had so many cyclical factors on its side. Today we have rather the opposite environment. The technical bull, as I've referred to it, within Wall Street's secular bear market, long defined here as a generational long process of P/E ratio contraction and rising yields, as investors recognize that they're not back in the 1990s buy and hold and leverage up environment, and therefore they become more cautious, are willing to pay less for shares. Now, that technical bull phase, as I say, that began in March 2003, a little earlier for some of the emerging markets. The March 2003 date was the point at which Wall Street started to really move, and that opened the door to gains and more gains everywhere else around the world. Now, if you have been listening to my audios earlier in the year, you'll know that my best case scenario, I never really expected this rally to last beyond the first quarter of 2005 due to the rising interest rates, due to the high oil price, due to cyclical factors involving the first term, the first year of a new U.S. presidential term, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I say that the message is going to be unpopular, I fear, for some new subscribers regarding stock markets, because you've just paid your subscription. You think, well, now, all right, how can I reap the gains here? What can I buy? What will David be buying himself? And frankly, I'm not interested in buying anything here right now. And the fact that a good many people are, and just makes me feel that they're still living in the mindset of March 2003 into March 2005, and expecting that this is just another short-term correction and that markets are going to bounce upwards again quite quickly. As you'll know from Owen, we don't really feel that way at all. I feel the big message is that that technical bull, which lasted just about 2 years, is over, and that we are now in a reaction phase, a medium-term corrective phase, which could easily carry through the second and third quarters of this year. We'll call it as we see it on the charts, and a lot depends on circumstances that cannot yet be foretold, such as when does the Fed shift from tightening short-term interest rates to easing short-term interest rates once again. Now, that transition, in my view, will mark the beginning of another medium-term technical rally. But right now, We are in the medium term bear phase, and I'm much more interested in increasing my short positions than in opening new long positions. Sorry, I'm just going to pause for a second and have a little bit of a drink. Back again, that was just to help the somewhat scratchy voice, which is not back to its full strength yet. Okay, so I'm much more interested, as I said, in shorting more stock market indices against some of the long positions that I don't mind holding for the long term, and those are mainly in Asia, India, Thailand, and Japan. And I do feel that had I been here last week or at the beginning of the week, I probably would have increased some of my hedge short positions, but I suspect there's still plenty of time to do that. Now, where will I actually concentrate? Owen and I were discussing this earlier in the day, and my comment was that we're spoiled for choice, but I will probably open more shorts in the European markets. And I notice a lot of people have been saying, well, go for Europe, the fundamentals are better, the valuations are better, and they're holding up a little better. Well, I'm not of the view that that will last for very long at all. As long as Wall Street is still heading south, that does leave these European markets extremely vulnerable. And if you know your stock market history, you will know that 9 times out of 10, I would estimate that Europe performs as a slightly higher beta version of Wall Street. In other words, when Wall Street is rallying, the European markets will tend to move up a bit more. And when you get the medium-term corrections on Wall Street, the European markets will tend to fall a bit more. Now, moving on to government bonds, these have surprised me once again with the strength of the rally that we've seen in recent weeks. I'm a little annoyed that while I was in hospital, that a short position that I have in U.S. Treasuries went from in June contract went from a profit to a modest loss in here. To me, they look quite overextended in the short term. I think the reason for the strength that we've seen in bonds has more to do with these so-called, and I put inverted commas around this as well, flight to quality, unquote. Now, not much quality in my view out here. You look at the PPI figures, producer price increases, and look at the CPI data. Inflation pressures really are creeping up, not so much in the manufacturing sector, but we're certainly seeing it in other areas, and the strong raw material prices are certainly increasing costs in the manufacturing sectors, which inevitably eventually get pushed on to the on to consumers. So I maintain that we're in the early stages of a secular trend of rising inflation, not in any sort of linear fashion, but in a sort of rolling moves. Inflation isn't a big problem, but the point is that government bond yields are priced nearly for perfection, and I maintain that the long secular bull market in government bonds ended in June 2003, and that we are really in what is a predictable extended lengthy phase of top formation development in terms of bond prices and bottoming out process in terms of government bond yields. Predictably lengthy, largely because people are always fighting the last battle, not only central bankers, economists, but most investors. And so the big concern has been deflation and disinflation, and they tend to overlook the new inflationary cycle. If you were around the markets around in the time of the 1980s, when Paul Volcker, years after Paul Volcker had instigated the high interest rate procedure, tight monetary policy, of wringing inflation out of the system. People were still expecting inflation to return, and so it's hardly surprising that it's any different, albeit in reverse, this time around. They're still expecting disinflationary and deflationary pressures to pop up at any time, and perhaps they will to a minor degree. But the big theme is, I say, is that central banks in recent years have sown the seeds for a new inflationary cycle, and we'll see more of that. Just wait till we get a little bit more economic slowdown. Okay, moving on now to the currency markets. My main theme on the US dollar is that it would be ranging this year more often than not, that we haven't seen the final lows, although we've seen most of the downside move. I'm still of a mixed mind as to whether or not the dollar's technical rally, such as it was, has been completed. I suspect quite possibly not, but really the evidence of the last week or more shows that it has certainly paused and is in partial retracement. So that's my covering of my yen short against the US dollar hedge position. Fortunately, taking a profit on that, albeit a diminished profit. And I like to think, as I said in the comment of the day, that I would have closed that a little earlier on had I been, instead of being on my back in hospital, albeit still scanning some charts here at my desk and checking out all the action as I like to do. Now, therefore, if I were to do anything in currencies here right now, and I'm not hugely tempted to do this, but I'd probably pick up a little more Aussie dollar long and preferably even the Kiwi dollar long. And if they ease back a little bit in the next few days, I might be tempted to do that. Now, elsewhere, commodities. This is quite an exciting ride, and some might feel kind of a white knuckle ride, and it goes with the territory, particularly as well. I was going to say, particularly as far as the metals are concerned, but I think all of them. But certainly, gold's upward thrust recently has been impressive. Even more so, the rebound that we've seen in silver prices. Now, also platinum. I don't own any gold bullion futures at the moment, but I've still got plenty of silver, and that's been very strong here in the last couple of days. I'll continue to trade that on a baby steps basis. I've got sell orders to take profits a little above the market, and I've got buy orders below the market, and a number of positions sort of around these prices. I might lighten a little bit more in my May positions because they're coming up for expiry relatively soon. Now, I also own some platinum, and that certainly saw a shakeout along with everything else. But firm in here again today, closing at 876.6, and I noticed that a 3 pound backwardation has opened up in platinum in the July contract versus the October contract. The October contract hardly trades, but there is a settlement price at the close of the day. So we've got a $3 backwardation, and that's potentially quite significant. That shows that we've still got, or that we have the shortage of nearby material is returning and increases the scope for an upward break by platinum. Now, I thought that was going to occur last month, and we had an upside failure, and it came right back down. This happens when you get a failed breakout from a recognizable trading range, but it's pushing up again. The lows continue to rise within this largely sideways trading range. Lows continue to rise more often than not. Also, palladium, that's another one that I hold a firm in here today. Last trading after hours at 205, at 205.10. And the industrial metals are particularly strong. As I say, they all had shakeouts earlier this month, but copper, for instance, a 3 month copper up $70 here on the LME to 3007. And 3007, and yet the backwardation is the cash price is at 3,495. So that's $188 higher than the 3 month price. And with that big backwardation holding throughout, I've been certainly tempted to hold a modest long position in copper. I'm not willing to trade these metals aggressively given the gains that they've already seen and the choppy nature of the activity. And also, as I was discussing with Owen earlier today, the only way one really makes money in these metals right now is to do what I hate to do in terms of trading, and that is buy on an act of faith after a shakeout. Now, okay, I've got the secular trend on my side, I believe, and I think I don't have any trouble making a fundamental case as to why these markets would do very well. But we also know about the stampeding hedge funds, and then there are the questions over China's economy and so on. But suffice it to say, as Owen keeps pointing out to you, that most of these, everything but zinc among the industrial metals that are traded on the London Metal Exchange, is in a backwardation, indicating real demand from users, not speculators. Nobody stockpiles nickel and tin and copper and so on. Okay, and also the industrial commodity, beg your pardon, the agricultural commodities firming up in here again recently. And certainly, if the dollar continues to retreat and down towards the lower side of this year's range, that would additionally further ease the leash, enabling a number of these commodities to move higher. Supply and elasticity, that's been my theme of the decade since the beginning of 2003, and I suspect it will last for at least the decade, and there are real money-making opportunities in here. As most subscribers know, I do hold some mining shares. They've taken a beating recently. I wouldn't be at all surprised if they don't take a bit further beating when or as the Wall Street-led stock market correction continues. And I would come in and pick up more long positions in the really class mining shares. But in the meantime, I prefer to play the sector through the actual metal prices. Okay, I think that's pretty much it for tonight, folks. But again, say I'm awfully glad, relieved to be back here, and all the best to all of you, and thank you again so much for all those wonderful and inspirational emails that were received. They were a real tonic for my morale, and I appreciate it so much. All the best.